Good morning.
Morning.
Turning your Bibles to the last part of chapter 10, the beginning of chapter 11. I'll put on the mic. I get electrified here. That's our word prayer. Father, we thank you for so many blessings. You've been merciful to us. You've given us light and truth. And we have great comfort in your words.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the meeting today, all the meetings today. And may, Lord, they lift someone's spirit, give someone enough gospel that they can get saved or change a life. God, we ask that all would be put in your hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the last part of chapter 10, verse 39, talking about the Jews, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan unto the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted to him. They went out in the country. They looked him up. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. Isn't that amazing? The greatest prophet, the Bible says, was John the Baptist. He ended up with a 6-foot ministry, and six-month ministry, and he didn't do a miracle. It said, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Well, that was exactly what John's job was. That's why he was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament period, time. He was the one that was going to introduce Jesus Christ to Israel. And that's what he did. Now look at John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Must have been a good friend of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now think about that. Think about that. Lazarus is sick. He's going to get so sick he's going to die. Jesus doesn't rush home to save him from his sickness. And you know what he said? He said, this sickness, John is telling us. You remember, you're looking at the witness in the Bible here of eyewitnesses. You're looking at what Jesus said, maybe in the last weeks of his life. Most of John, or half of John at least, is about the last week of the Lord Jesus' life. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God. Isn't that something? God's going to get some glory. The glory of God. Why? That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What's God doing? Well, he's doing a miracle showing that Jesus Christ is his Son, God walking in the flesh. That's beautiful. Sickness is not unto death, and he was right. He died, but 4 days later he was resurrected. And he was a big drawing card. After he was resurrected into some of the people came not just because they wanted to hear Jesus, they wanted to see Lazarus. I think if somebody had been dead 4 days and they rose up, I'd like to go see them too. That would be a sight. I've seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen Niagara Falls. Good night. I've seen a bunch of beautiful things. I've seen some amazing instances in my life of various acts of the Lord. Wow, what beauty. Okay, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus is proving he is the Son of God. He is proving He is the Savior of the world. He is proving that His name is the one that you have to go to. And you need to know that, because the Bible speaks clearly that there's no other man can stand in your place. Not your mother, not your father, not your priest, not Mary. She was a lovely, righteous young lady, but she wasn't God. And she is not a mediator. There is one mediator between God and men. That's what the Bible says. One mediator between God and men. That means I really can't intercede for you because I don't have this much of an interest to God. Jesus did.
Amen.
He is the one mediator between God and men. That's Christ Jesus. You have
Amen.
To go through Jesus.
Amen.
Not through anyone else. Okay. Now Jesus, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still at the same place where he was. And this is confusing to his apostles, disciples. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And the disciples said, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. After that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. I love that little verse. You like to sleep? I think all of us like to sleep. Isn't that right? Man, I have been an insomniac all my life. I'm not sure what I was as a child. But from a teenager's on, even to today, I am up in the nights. And so I get up at no telling any time. Can be 5, 6, 7, mostly 7. And I go to bed at 11, 12, 1. And I wake up a couple of times in the night. And I used to get on the road and drive all night long. I just stay awake in the night. I love sleep. I think, wow, did I get a 2 or 3 hour sleep here? Whoa, that's good. I think this is your little joke. Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. If he sleep, he shall do well. You like sleep? I do. Then said Jesus, verse 14, unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, we have several instances in the Bible of dead people being resurrected. Dead people are God come in and answered their prayers and let them have a more longer life. And I may read one or two of those verses anywhere. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now, this is what John is telling us that Jesus said at this instant. You know what you're getting? A message from God. You're getting God's approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're getting a real miracle that is known by everybody there. Now, there's a lot of miracles that people claim in our time, and most of them are bogus. Somehow there was a coconut in one tree, and it supposedly had a picture of Jesus. And people came for hundreds of miles. I don't know. It was in my youth here in San Antonio, so I don't know whether it was in San Antonio or what, but it was a big deal, a big deal. Ridiculous. Now, you remember the blind man that was healed, the lame man that was healed in the book of Acts when Peter and John went up to the temple? He was healed from his lameness by Peter saying, rise and walk. He said, I don't have any money to give you, but what I have I'll give you. Rise up and walk. And they did not want to think that was a miracle. And yet people said, that's the same guy that's been here 40 years. He has to do something for his family. Pardon me. He's not able to work. So they would carry him every day to the temple, and he would beg so that he had some help to the finances of the family. And so they knew him. And it's a notable miracle when you know, I know this guy was blind. Like we had over in chapter 9 here, as we studied a little while ago, he healed a blind man. And the Pharisees didn't want to believe it. And they called him in, said, give God the praise. This Jesus is a sinner. And he said, he didn't know about that. He said, there's one thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. What about, hey, there's no problem for him. And if you notice in that chapter, it's a beautiful chapter. He starts out a man called Jesus, and he says, then a prophet. And then when Jesus comes to him, my God. How do people get saved? They learn to believe the scriptures about Jesus Christ and trust him in what he says. If he's sleepy, he'll do well. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe, and nevertheless let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, the twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, Thomas thinks, man, this is it. They're going to kill us all. If we go with him, we're going to die. And so I would imagine that was probably a pretty good opinion. In those days, yeah, the governments and the people and the gangs and all sorts of robbers and thieves, you go certain places. He said, we may die with him. Well, we didn't need them to die with him. We just needed Jesus to die. The reason why he was out in the wilderness was because they were going to stone him. They threatened him. They wanted to kill him. And his time wasn't ready yet. When his brothers and sisters are going down to the feast, they said, aren't you going to the feast? He said, it's not my time yet. Well, God, we're getting ready. Here's the time. This is a close time. These are things in the last week of the Lord Jesus' life, or the last weeks, months in the Gospel of John. And so he said, then said Jesus, he found that he had lain in the grave. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, he's not walking into a sick man who's succumbed and wakes up when he comes in. This guy's been buried in the ground or in the grave 4 days already. That's a tremendous miracle. And by the way, it was known as a tremendous miracle. And the Pharisees got so mad about it, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. We'll kill Jesus and we'll kill Lazarus. Because they couldn't stand the ability of Jesus to perform these miracles to show that he was God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Let us go that we may die with him. He'd been in the grave 4 days. Back in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 4, it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came to me saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer and seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. That's a tremendous historical thing. But now Hezekiah didn't have to die and lay in the grave 4 days. But he got a prayer answered. You reckon maybe you ought to pray sometimes? You reckon you ought to, there's nothing too big for you to pray for? Don't be too disappointed if you don't get it. But let me tell you, God answers prayer. Amen. The testimony of the Bible. Prayer is one of the biggest doctrines by volume. There's that many prayers in here. There's that many promises to prayer in here. You ought to be a praying person. You ought to be praying for your children. You young married couples, start praying for your children right now. Your little kids come out, don't wait till they get to be teenagers when you start praying for them. You start talking to them. You start disciplining. You start training them. Had this woman, bless her heart, she was supposed to be a person that works with people, come into my house and had a little two-year-old. And I didn't have any better sense than to invite both of them in. That two-year-old didn't know what the word no was. She'd tell him no, he didn't do a thing. I thought I was going to have to put him out. I was having a hard time thinking about what should I do with this right here. How did I get myself in this situation? I'm just too sweet. I know you don't believe that. I told her twice. I said, "Hon, you better get this child under control right now, or when he's 14 and 15, you're not going to control a thing he does. He's going to break your heart, maybe break your pocketbook, and the police are going to control him." Amazing. You take care of praying for your children. When my kids went on dates, I prayed for them. I prayed for every one of my kids. Now, I wasn't saved when Eddie was born. I was saved before Billy was born. And I prayed for all my children. I gave them to the Lord. They were His. He could do with them as they pleased. And I would give honor to Him whatever He did with them. Here is Hezekiah. Isaiah is his prophet, back in 2 Kings. And he began to pray and cry. You ever prayed and cried? It might work. Why don't you try praying and crying? Yes, something burdens you so much that it brings tears to your eyes. It's got you brokenhearted. Tell God about it. Ask God to intercede. Ask God for wisdom on how you should handle that thing. I think maybe God will answer some of your prayers if you'd pray. And believe me, I read the Bible more than most people who ever lived. I tell you what, there's an awful lot in this Bible about prayer. And I think one of the most amazing things in the knowledge of God is that He wants you to pray. He invites you to pray. He tells you to call upon Him in your troubles. The Bible tells us He has your tears in a bottle. You don't cry over some disaster in your life and God go unnoticed. God is noticing. So, spend some time in prayer. Now, going back to verse 18 in chapter 11. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs. Now, a furlong is about an eighth of a mile. Takes 8 furlongs to make a mile. And that was, they walked a lot of times back in these days. I would drive my car a furlong. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, and Mary sat still in the house. You know, families get together at funerals. Sometimes that's about the only time that families get together. You're too far away. You don't have the nice interest, the same interest, or whatever. And so, but somebody dies, your father, your mother, your uncle, your aunt, your brother, your cousin, your good friend. Well, that's what they had here. People were coming to comfort Mary and Martha because Lazarus was dead, laying in the grave out there. And so Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha heard that Jesus was out there somewhere, and so she went. Then in verse 21, this is sort of like an accusation. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I believe in you. I believe you got the power to heal him. I believe you got the power, and you would, he's such a good friend of yours. What are we going through this for? Because you didn't come. Remember? He abode still 2 days at the place where he was when he heard that Lazarus was sick. But he told his disciples there before they ever went back and saw anything, this is for the glory of God. And it sure was. Very definitely. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's probably true. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Martha believed in the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She believed that if the Lord wanted anything from God, he would get it. Because they're going to confess to him. These friends of his know he is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King that's to come. God in the flesh. Wow. And she gives that testimony here in several different places here. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, I pray, but I don't know that God's going to answer my prayers. God might say no. As a daddy, I didn't give my kids everything they asked for. First of all, I was too broke. I spent my life broke. Working two jobs most of the time. Having fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. But I'll tell you something. God didn't answer all my prayers. And you know what? I'm glad he didn't. Have you ever thought about the things you pray about?
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes you prayed for the wrong thing. Have you ever seen in your life, as you come on down through experience, I'm sure glad God didn't answer that prayer? I've done that many times. I've made a lot of decisions in my life, and people come to me sometimes for advice. And you know something? I've made a few mistakes. How about more than a few? Have you made mistakes? Have you recognized that in the decisions you've made, that you made mistakes? Well, ask for forgiveness. Ask for wisdom. Ask God, help me not to make any more mistakes. Well, of course you're going to. We human beings are amazing. These little babies around in here. And they're rocking old Rocky back there. They come into the world self-centered. That's how they live. If they weren't that way, many more would die than do at the present time. But that baby does not care about his mother. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, he wants the breast. And he's going to make you miserable till he gets it. I had 5, I know. Of course, they didn't wake me. If I was asleep, they didn't wake me. But my wife, they just had to, boy, she's up and gone. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Do you know what? She had some pretty good doctrine. She had been taught by Jesus, I'm sure, or John the Baptist before Jesus. There's going to be a last day and there's going to be a resurrection and the good are going to be separated from the wicked and God was going to take some to heaven and some going to go to hell. I know he's going to rise up in the resurrection at the last day. That's pretty good doctrine for back time in Jewish time right now. If you understand, I really don't understand all of the feasts and all of the sacrifices, and I don't even want to. They were shadows. They were simply pictures of what Jesus Christ was going to accomplish through his death, burial, and resurrection upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible even tells you blood of bulls and calves cannot pay for sin. And that's what they were offering. They were offering that blood. But it was a picture preparing them for the sacrifice of Christ, where he could pay the debt and then rise again himself. Amen. Wow. And then dress you up in his righteousness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. I am so sick of religious teaching in churches that teach that salvation is a reward for being good. Salvation is a reward for keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, first of all, you never have kept them. They're just 10 there, but you don't pass even with just 10.
Amen.
Love God with all your heart,
amen,
mind, soul, and strength. Well, what word I have any love for a wife and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? I don't love God that way, and you don't either. I've heard people claim they do. But you know, I just bought me a new car this year. Wow. I got me a new car. Did I buy you one? I don't love you like I love me.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
There ought to be any scripture that should convict you of your sin. It's selfishness. You're interested in your own self, your own thoughts, your own ways. And by the way, they're not just 100 or 2. There are 9 billion people on the face of the earth, and they're all like you. And they think they're right. They're sure they're right. They think you're so right, they'll kill you for disagreeing with them. Isn't that right? What's your news tell you every day? You don't have a dollar to give the bum, so he shoots you. Happening in the streets of San Antonio and every other big city, every day, every night. I give 1 hour to news most days. 5 to 6. Local news, national news. Do I pay much attention to it? No, I'm probably thinking of other things while I'm listening to it. And yet I want to hear what happened. I remember one time, Dale West and I went to Colorado to have a mission conference up there for Mike and Danny. And I get a call from Dale. We had motel rooms. He said, "You got the TV on?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, turn it on." It was when the bombers went into those towers in Washington. Did you know I was teaching English when John F. Kennedy was shot? You know how I heard it? From the kids. From the kids. John F. Kennedy had been killed. Went through the school. There were tears. There was pandemonium. All teaching for that day was gone. Just some comforting. Let me tell you something. You ought to pay a little attention to the news. Not too much. Because God's bigger than the news. And he's bigger in your life than your problems. And what you need to do is learn to trust him.
Amen.
He loves you more than you love him.
Amen.
He loves you more than you love yourself.
Amen.
And you must know you can trust him. He gave you a book to read, and bless your heart, this is the truth. Spend a little time in that New Testament there. Read this Gospel of John about 15 times till you get it down. It's an eyewitness testimony of what Jesus said and did in the last weeks of his life, mostly in the book. Wow. She said, "I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am." There's another one of your I am's. There's about 7 statements in the book of John with "I am" to it. Now remember, "I am" is the name God gave to himself to Moses when he sent him into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. And there are a bunch of nice I am statements. Here he said, I am the resurrection. Whoa. It's different what you thought. You thought you were going to be resurrected just like you are and everything was going to be going on like it is. It's not the same. Not going to be that. God's got some bigger plans. I'm amazed at the wisdom of God. I am the resurrection, and hey, I'm the life. And you know what? If you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior alone, can't be anybody with Him. If you're saved, God has paid your debt. And you have eternal life existing in you right now, so says the Scripture. He that believeth on the Son hath, H-A-T-H, it's has, eternal life. Present possession. Present tense, has, everlasting life. Wow. Wow. Pick up a little bit on those Scriptures. Good night. Read it and see what it has to say. You would not be so depressed. You really would not. If you were saved and knew about this right here, you would not be so depressed. Somebody asked me, why are you so happy? Probably because I'm ignorant. But I personally think it's because I have faith in Christ and the book that I've got in front of me that it's the Word of God. And I trust it. Now, I have no doubt one of these days they're going to cry at my funeral. And they're going to preach the gospel at my funeral. And some people are going to be inconsolable at my funeral. Can you imagine that? Well, let me tell you what. Don't cry for me. Cry for you.
Amen.
Solomon's wisdom in Ecclesiastes is a tremendous book. He said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. You don't think that way. You think it's better to go to a party. It's better to go out to eat. It's better to have a birthday party. It's better to have a friend's party or whatever. Let's have a party. Well, God said it's better to go to the house of mourning, and that would be what was happening at Mary and Martha's house. They had a house of mourning. Here's a death in the family. We don't know what to do about that. That's the end for us. You know why? Because the men will take it to heart. They'll see one of their friends or one of their loved ones in a casket up here, dead. They're going to be sorry and sad and crying. And if they're smart, they'll realize, I'm going to die too. Where am I going to go when I die? It's the most important question you've got. There's nothing more important than that. Not winning the lottery. Not getting a new car, not getting a new wife. No, there's nothing more important than that.
Amen.
Where are you going to spend eternity and why? Well, you're a sinner, we know that. Anybody in here that denies being a sinner? Well, I just consider you an idiot. You're not a sinner? Of course, you're selfish. Sin is basically selfishness.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Most marriage problems, they're just selfishness on both parts, or one part. Wow. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You gotta have Jesus. None other name given among men than Jesus Christ can get you into the presence of God. I'm sorry, Mary can't do it. I'm sorry, the Pope can't do it. I'm sorry, the President can't do it. I'm sorry, your mother can't do it. Nobody paid for your sins but Jesus. And He paid the price So that if you are a sinner like me, and I am a sinner, my only hope of heaven is Jesus, not me. Not me. I'd never make it. I couldn't get to see the President of the United States today, even if I had a very important message. I probably couldn't see the governor, even though I voted for him. But I wanted to go to him and give my opinion and tell him this and tell him that. I'm not important enough. I probably couldn't see the mayor without 6 months' wait. But I can see God. I can meet with God today. I can meet with God in my prayer closet. I can meet with God by reading His Word and asking Him to show it to me. I can take it with God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What a tremendous statement. So when you think I've died, I just shed this sorry, painful old body, 85-year-old body. I just shed that, and I was set free. Don't have to worry about gangrene. Don't have to worry about walking. Don't have to worry about a whole lot of things. No, 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 no. When I die, it's a promotion. Why, he just went to Jesus, and Jesus came at him. He said, I'll come and bring you unto myself. Wow. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, Lord. She believed it. I love these stories. And my time's up. God bless you.